Blog Talk Radio.
The 48 senators who voted to burn the flag as they pass in review under the new American symbol, the O over the highway. The red and white highway comrades. Daniel Akaka from Hawaii. Evan Bai from India. Robert Bennett from Utah. Here comes the Joseph Biden. Jeff Bingaman from New Mexico, who wants to destroy the United States military for the good of the country. Barbara Boxer from California. Robert Byrd, flag burner and barn burner. Maria Cantwell from the communist state of Washington. Gene Carnahan from Missouri. Thomas Carper from Delaware. Lincoln Chafee from Rhode Island. Hillary Clinton from the doormat state of New York. Ned Cochran from Mississippi. Kent Conrad from North Dakota. John Corzine, now Commissar of New Jersey. Thomas Daschle from South Dakota, who will soon reappear as Tsarina. Christopher Dudd from Connecticut, who gets low mortgages for himself but nobody else. Byron Dorgan from North Dakota. Richard Durbin, who has killed more Americans than Al-Qaeda. As a matter of fact, he's...
Hey, boys and girls, welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. Today is the 10th of October. The time is 10:15 a.m., And I was just watching Fox Business News, and they have a pretty blonde girl on who's a champion for the party of death and the party of death to business, and that's the Democrats. And one of her quips that really got me riled was she said that we've lost all our industry to China. We've lost all our industry to China, and through no fault of the Democrat Party. You see, the people that caused the problems, they point to the problems later on and blame somebody else. That's why I tell you, when you look at Democrats and they're talking, don't look at what they're pointing to. Look at what they're trying to take your eyes off of, because that's how they're going to kill you. And another news today, the Pakistan headquarters, the Pakistani army, is under siege by the Taliban. It's only a little small shot in the dark, but you know what? They're getting closer to the nukes every day. Don't be surprised one day you find out that Al-Qaeda has nukes. And I'll tell you, you know who's going to fund it? Saudi Arabia, because they don't want Iran being the only country that has nukes. The Sunni do not want to see the Shia with nukes alone. I can guarantee it. So, you think about that this morning as your president is waffling on whether to send more troops to get bin Laden. He was and never forget his words when he was campaigning and they asked him how he was going to take care of the war on terror. He says, when I'm with my generals, every 70 days. Yeah, we're in trouble, folks. We're absolutely in trouble. I'm going to read you good news and bad news.
Many long years ago, a fellow named Robin Hood, he used to rob the rich, most every chance he could. You shouldn't get me wrong, because he was no square. With his trusty bow and arrow, he could part your hair. His brother was Little John, another was Allendale. 140 more, together they hit the trail. They would scamper through the forest, through the blueberry. Mr. Edom told them where they should be, and he took from the rich man, gave it to the poor man. Had a fear for no man, only for his chick whose name is Marianne. Here is a switcheroo, a robber and his loyal crew. King Richard forgave them all, here's what they had to do. They became his loyal rangers and were very good. So that ends our little tale of Robin Hood, Robin Hood, Robin Hood. And he took from the rich rich man, gave it to the poor man, out of fear for no man, only for his chick whose name is Marianne. He was a switcheroo, a Robin Hood's loyal crew. King Richard forgave them all, here's what I had to do. They became the Royal Rangers and were very good. So that ends our little tale of Robin Hood.
It was the Democrats that drove industry out of the United States. They found out there was more money to be made in fines than there was to be made in taxes. And so that's what they did. They hounded all industry out of this country and they sent them to China. And now they're pointing the finger at China and saying, all our jobs are lost. They're the ones that chased them out of here. And Chuck Schumer would get rid of Exxon tomorrow if he could. He would like to dip into their little treasury and appropriate for the government a windfall profits tax. That's what they call it. But you just heard Robin Hood, right? And the story of King John, Prince John, right? And how you couldn't hunt no longer in the king's forest. And that's what's happening here in the United States. We got to break up this one-party system that controls the House, the Senate, and the presidency, and very soon the judges. All of the judges. They haven't toppled the Supreme Court yet, but the entire judicial system is seated with communists. And every day, the communists get another court decision rendered in their favor, which then becomes the law of the land. And then it's laid upon you. I don't know what you're going to do about your kids in communist school. They are being brainwashed. They're going to be taught that it's all right to go on a camping trip with a gay scoutmaster. And if there's only 12 sleeping bags and 13 boys, somebody has to double up with the scoutmaster. This is coming. And when they start talking about who can define a natural sex, I can. That's when the goat is on top. Yeah, in America. Natural sex in America. Give me a break. Give me an absolute break. And I hear somebody calling into Mark Simone saying that David Letterman is a dirty old man. David Letterman, who ridiculed Sarah Palin to the glee of his communist audience. The word communist is being used more and more every day, and never forget that I'm the guy that introduced it. The Nobel Communist Peace Prize. Yep. And add that one to it. Now, I'm going to read you something about how the media brainwashes you. This is a letter to the editor that I sent. Not a letter to the editor, just a quip. And the headline reads, "Bad news gets a front page, good news goes to the rear." And it says, "I notice when you are accused of alleged biased reporting that in your own defense you double the print size to make your point. I am referencing to January the 27th when it's news." That was the subject of their article. They were defending themselves and they doubled the size of the print. "I remember seeing the screaming front page headlines, 'Catholic priest allegedly falls for the first time.'" Now, I'm going to tell you a little story about the Catholic priest who fell for the first time. This guy was jam tight and jelly free. He was a man of God and he was loved by his parish. And one disenfranchised student who he smacked around accused him of molesting him. Okay? And that was the only one who they could find to bring charges against this Monsignor. Okay? The Monsignor died of a broken heart. They broke him. He died of a broken heart. And when he was laying on his deathbed, the cardinal called to see how he was doing. The same cardinal that has time to go bless a restaurant for a $600 meal. When things are wrong, I'm going to say it. I'm not turning the other cheek. And this man of God who served God his whole life took his last breath in a Catholic nursing home. And he was never vindicated from the charge. The stigma was with him. But that's at a time when it was time for the Catholic Church to be brought down as part of the great communist plot to divide the country. And so what they did is they got they exposed the cover-up that began in Ireland when pedophile priests were abusing children, and they started digging in the United States, and they found out that the church had covered up the sins of some priests, okay, and had not handled the situation properly. The proper way to have handled the situation would have been to reenact the crucifixion. But you got to remember that the Catholic Church is a church of penance and forgiveness, to the point that sometimes it gets ridiculous. But never forget the real reason why the Catholic Church was attacked in the pedophile priest scandal. It wasn't to find justice for the victims. It was to destroy the Catholic Church. There were lawyers walking into cathedrals, marking down the sizes of gold crucifixes and ciboriums in case they needed an inventory list for the auction. They wanted to break that great religion that was established by a poor man. Okay, never forget that. It wasn't established by a rich cardinal. It was established by a poor man, the son of a carpenter. And it was built from the ground up by the hands of poor people who believe in that there is an afterlife. So, going back, I remember seeing the screaming front page headlines, Catholic priest allegedly falls for the first time. I also noticed that when his flock gathered in prayer at his church to ask God's help, the best you could do was show the church in the rear pages while putting a snow-covered car on the front page. How cold. I call that a snow job. When he is vindicated, what will the page position be? And he was never vindicated. You see, it's a great democratic tactic. It's one of the first principles of the Democrat Party. It's called the fight-on principle. And rule number one is Mary is a whore. And what they do is, if Mary brings charges against the President of the United States for groping her, the first thing they do is say Mary is a whore. And then Mary, who is outraged, is shocked, and appalled, which are two big buzzwords that the Democrats use when they're caught stealing money, and then call for an investigation of themselves by themselves. When Mary screams for vindication, only 50% of the people who heard that Mary is a whore believe her. And then she fights back, and she gets a lawyer. She spends her entire savings to regain her reputation, while the party of death uses a champagne fund to destroy her. And Mary finally gets a ruling that she is not a whore. And the 50% who believed the rumor goes to 60%. And then as time passes, the 60% falls to 30%. Just over the fact that the shocking headline takes precedence in your mind over the victory of truth. So when Mary's name comes up next time, somebody will say, oh, I remember her. She was in the news. Wasn't she that whore? And that's how the Democrats smear you and destroy you. They are the party over country people. They have no allegiance to anybody but the party. They have no country. That's why Obama got that Pulitzer Communist Prize, because the communists realize he's their boy. And if you don't believe me, ask the GIs in Afghanistan tonight that are waiting on the relief column.
We should say hello, and you get mellow. get started. Oh, this is what happened to you, baby. Shake it and break it and you, oh, babe. You knock it and rock it and you, oh, babe. You swing it and zing it and you, oh, babe. You skip it and you dip it and you, oh, babe. And the world turns upside down when you holler, oh, babe. And you wiggle and you giggle and you,
oh, babe.
Shuffle and scuffle and you,
oh, babe.
And you boogie and you woogie and you,
oh, babe.
You move it and you groove it and you,
oh, babe.
And the world turns upside down when you holler, oh, oh, babe. Oh, Sam, oh, babe. Oh, babe. Oh, Sam. Oh, baby. Oh, baba. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Oh, baba boy. Oh, baby. Oh, hello, lady.
I was talking to a veteran of World War II yesterday, and he's been around the horn, this guy, and he's very patriotic, and he participates in all of the veterans' programs. And he tells me that in a public school in Coney Island, when the kids say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States, the Muslim kids in the classroom get up and turn their backs on the flag. How's that? That's bringing us all together, huh? One big happy family? A pluribus unum? Except if you're a Muslim? Maybe it's time a Muslim started teaching love of country. Isn't there a law in the Quran that says you must support the government that feeds your children? Feeds and protects your children? A couple of years back, I met an upstate Catholic high school teacher. I think he was teaching mathematics. And he was talking about how he loves the school that he teaches in. And he happened to mention that he also had Jewish kids and Muslim kids going to this Catholic high school. And I says, what happens when you have a function, a religious function like mass? And he goes, oh, they all have to attend. See, no problem. We all get along. Just because we're different doesn't mean we don't have certain things in common. The Good Samaritan was an Arab, right? Isn't he from Samara? And for the Jewish guy that's attending church services, he can always rationalize and say, look, you know, we're the ones that got you started. Your founder is Jewish. So we just opened a branch of the chosen people. And Jesus got his basic training in a synagogue. That's where his mother and father went and found him when he was 12 years old. He wasn't in the caravan, and they went and they back to the synagogue. And he said, I have to be about my father's work. So you see, he had working papers at 12. He's always been a hustler, hustling for God. I like these communist questions that they field. When they want you to feel guilty about something, and they'll say, what would Jesus do? And they'll show you the Democrats are taking bribes and selling state secrets to the Chinese, and they'll say, well, what would Jesus do? I'll tell you what Jesus would do. You know, they all play on the compassionate side of Jesus, but he had an angry side too. Didn't he say, if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out? Huh? If you betray a child, better to have a millstone tied around your neck and thrown into the deepest part of the sea. Didn't he say that? Right? Yeah, and he also cast out money changers from the temple, which is what we should be doing on election day. We should be doing what Jesus would do. Cast out the money changers from the temple. Our political temple is in Washington, D.C. And we should make a whip and drive all of the money changers out. With the announcement of the Pulitzer Prize, created by a guy who invented dynamite, for dynamite for peace, I hear a lot of talk about a disarmament, but it's making me very nervous. Can you see yourself walking into a high crime area and announcing that you're totally helpless? Hi, everybody. I'm here, and I'm totally helpless. Yeah, if I got a feeling that this Democrat junta that's running the country, their version of disarmament talks is to we give up ours first and then we ask the guys that are holding the balance of power to get rid of theirs a second. I don't like that. I don't like that. And as far as the number of nukes, the more we have, the better. Never forget the lesson that was taught by Arab caravans in days of yore. There is safety in numbers, and that goes for nuclear missiles. The stronger we are, the safer we are. Never forget that. We know we're Americans. We wouldn't hurt anybody. But if we have to retaliate or stop you from hurting us, we can do it with efficiency. And we have to continue to develop that efficiency. And I would say bring back the neutron bomb, too. I would definitely be announcing that the neutron bomb is back in our arsenal. From Alexander the Great, from the first caveman to Alexander the Great, to General MacArthur, to George Patton, to Curtis LeMay, strength, peace through strength is the buzzword. And if you want to know, ask Genghis Khan what kind of negotiations he held to convince his enemies that it was better to live under his boot than to die headless. And you see how they deal in the Middle East. To cut a head off is nothing. It's the same as shearing a sheep. Let's scan the news blogs and let's see what's happening. Here's an example of anti-Catholic headlines. The headline, it reads, "Ex-priest admits sex with stripper." And then underneath, in small print, it says, "The minister." So when you read the first headline, it says priest, you automatically assume it's a Catholic priest, because Catholics are commonly known, priests are commonly known as Catholic. Okay? Ministers are from other religions. But they got to put that in there, so, because most people don't read beyond the headline. There was a great priest in New York who worked his way up to Monsignor. And he was a spokesman at St. Patrick's Cathedral. He served God. This guy was good looking. Have you ever heard anybody ever say, "How can this guy be that good looking and a priest? He must be gay." Hold on 1 second. He was my history teacher, and we used to clash, but he was always a gentleman. And he bounced my head off the blackboard a couple of times, but he always did it with a friendly smile and a kindly face. And he was great. He was a great teacher. And at the high school dances, that's when the Catholic Church used to promote dances. Now they don't do that no more. They don't promote a mating. I guess it has to do with a tort reform. It has to do with lawsuits. It has to do with the ACLU. So they're shackled. But anyway, back then there were school dances and high school dances, and all the girls used to swoon over this guy. I'm telling you, this guy had blue eyes. He had a nice hairdo. He was frivolous. He was charming. He was elegant. And for many years, I used to watch him on TV. He used to talk about Catholic art, and he could talk about anything. He was well versed. So so everybody always suspected him of being gay, and not everybody, but a lot of people. You know, there's something wrong with this guy. Not that he couldn't have dedicated his life to his flock. Not that he couldn't have married an entire parish, okay? Not that he couldn't have done God's work for the glory of, and honor of God. No, that can't be. This guy's too good to be true. So, as things would happen, in his golden years, he came out against homosexuals, and within about 2 weeks, he was silenced, and he fell from grace. He came out against homosexuality, you know, hate the sin but love the sinner. And I defended him in a couple of articles that he's the same priest that handed communion to somebody who spit it in his face, you know, because that's what the gays were doing in protest at St. Patrick's Cathedral. And if you remember Opie and Anthony, who are big celebrities today, and they've been legitimized, they recorded a couple screwing in the vestibule of St. Patrick's Cathedral live on radio, and you couldn't have done that in my generation. You couldn't have done that. First off, the couple would have been hanged, drawn, and quartered, and then Opie and Anthony would have got a visit from about 200 fighting Irishmen. Yeah, but today, we're a nation of mice. We are. They're going to change the emblem from an eagle to a mouse. Yeah, the mouse that roared. But anyway, so this priest fell from grace, and then all of a sudden, he was caught coming out of a motel with a woman who happened to be his secretary out in Long Island. And he was 79 years old. Yeah. So he finally, he fell. He fell at 79. Oh, you know how many 79-year-old guys would love to be in his, the shoes of the fisherman? Yeah. And I say they only did it to save money because they were on a tight budget. And he couldn't drive. She had to drive. And that's a worst-case scenario. And now you compare that to Roman Polanski, who gets Academy Awards for raping 13-year-olds. Now, you would think that a guy like Roman Polanski, having witnessed the abortion of his wife by Charles Manson, who, if I believe the story at the time, the baby was cut from her body. And this guy, you would think he would dedicate his life to the protection of women. Instead, what does he do? He drugs a 13-year-old and rapes her and sodomizes her. And God knows what sodomy includes. And he skips town like the guy that Clinton pardoned. Who was that guy? Mark Rich, who was selling, doing deals with the Iranians. He was selling nukes to the Iranians. And Clinton pardoned him. And you know what's ironic? You know what's really ironic? The Democrats, they demand total loyalty from their subjects. But when it comes to betrayal, they'll even betray a president of the United States. Harry Truman was in office as president when Puerto Rican terrorists breached the fence at the White House, killed two cops, and were trying to assassinate Harry Truman. And the Clintons pardoned those terrorists for money and votes. How's that? They betrayed Harry Truman, the last real Democrat. They betrayed his memory. They betrayed the sacrifice that those two cops made to protect the president. And they did it for money and votes. And they got both. And that's the Democrat Party. Everything's for sale. I have a picture of the guy that bought the house in Chappaqua for the Clintons. Oh, and by the way, you know who was in on the deal for the FALN terrorists to pardon them? Eric Holder. He brought the package to the president. He's a package man, Eric. And he also brought the Mark Rich pardon package to the president, President Pinocchio Pants. If it's got two legs and lipstick, he's screwing it. And Hillary will sing Stand By Your Man. As a matter of fact, I'm waiting to see the Cialis commercial where Bill and Hillary are sitting in separate bathtubs watching the sunset. Yeah, give me a break. Give me a break. A nation of hypocrites. We're all taking the hypocritic oath. I spy with my little eye. You lost your country, and you're never getting it back. And that's the truth. That's the truth. If English was a requirement for entry into the United States, how long do you think it would take for people to learn English? 3 months? 6 months? Would they learn it before they came here? You see the kids sitting in madrasas and they're chanting the surahs from the Quran. And they're memorizing them by heart. You mean that couldn't be an English lesson? But the enemies of the people of the United States don't want a one-language country. And they play on your guilt feelings. They play on your soft side while they drive the axe into your back. And speaking of anti-Catholic headlines, I recall once the announcement, the big flash in the media, and the headline read, eight pedophiles arrested, two are Catholic priests. I said, what about, how come we're not describing the other six? Suppose it's three Lutherans are leaping, or two Mormons are milking, or a parson in a pear tree. Yeah, give me a break, man. Why do they hate the Catholic Church so much? Because there are no amendments to the Ten Commandments. Hi, I'm back. Okay. I got to do a correction on when I opened up with the article on the priest, and then they said he was a minister who had a baby with a stripper. I didn't think he was Catholic, but it turns out he is Catholic. So I'm going to read you a clip that I just blogged on the internet about the situation. How's this for a hit piece opening? Miami. The scandals for the Catholic Church in Florida seem to have no end. A priest who served in the same parish as Alberto Cuti has admitted he fathered a baby with an exotic dancer. Yeah. Did the writer ever cover? I'm laughing because they used the word exotic dancer. Did the writer ever cover a communion? The church is the hospital emergency room for soul sickness, and sometimes the doctor gets ill. There is a benediction hymn called Tantum Ergo, and one of the lines in this benediction hymn, and what's a benediction in case you're not Catholic? It's a moment dedicated to the adoration of the sacred host that represents the body of Christ. And they put it in what's called a monstrance. It's like a big golden server, and in the center you can see the host through a glass window. And they do a couple of songs. One is O Salutaris Hostia in Latin, and one is Tantum Ergo. And one of the lines in this tune is Vela Premunt Hostilia. And I think that's out of Tantum Ergo. And what it means in English is our enemies close in from every side. And how true that is. The Catholic Church was born in persecution, and it will die in persecution. Being Catholic does not exempt one from sin, be it a priest, a cardinal, or one of the faithful. Dante says that the seventh rung, the lowest level of hell, is reserved for those who betray a trust, be it a priest or a politician. Our beloved church was founded by a poor Jew whose father was a carpenter and his mother a saint. He taught us how to live. He taught us how to die, and that is why he fell three times, to remind us we are not perfect, and we need God to guide us. We can go down to 12 and start all over again. The Catholic Church, in its purest form, is the rock that blocks the devil's advocates. It is up to us to live up to the standard that Jesus raised on Easter Sunday. This one holy Catholic and apostolic church was built by poor hands, yet is rich in spirit, the Holy Spirit. Ave.
So, having said that, I just wanted to let you know, it's funny that I should bring this subject up because of one little line that I saw. But you know what? If you listen to some of my other shows, you'll hear me talk about communist seasons. There's two seasons coming up. This one I didn't see coming up again after the Boston Globe took down the Catholic Church throughout the nation. Going as far as going to cemeteries and getting rubbings off of the tombstones of Catholic priests to go back and research the dates they were alive to see if they had any scandal in their past. And of course, it's much easier to accuse somebody who's dead and buried because they won't protest. And heaven won't let them come back to defend themselves. But anyway, the Boston Globe, which is an arm of the New York Slimes, had declared war on the Catholic Church a long time ago. And in order for the one world order to prevail and destroy the strength and independence of the United States, the first thing they have to do is destroy all religious institutions. And they'll use one religious institution to destroy another and then kill the winner. Yes. And having said that, I'm going to take a break. Bella Premunt Hostilia is not in Tantum Ego. My mistake. It's in O Salutaris Hostia. But let me just give you the translation on what you just heard those Gregorian chanters singing. Down in adoration falling, lo, the sacred host we hail. Lo, over ancient forms departing, newer rites of grace prevail. Faith for all defects supplying, where the feeble senses fail. So that priest should have done a little benediction instead of checking into the motel that night. And maybe he could have bolstered his feeble senses. Oh, if we could all be without sin like President Clinton and David Letterman. And the latest news is, as a show of solidarity with the international world, President Obama has ordered that the American Eagle be removed from all coinage and symbols on government offices and replaced with the Belgian waffle. You think you haven't lost your country? Let me tell you something. Do you know who owns Budweiser now? The Belgies. The Belgies own Budweiser. You don't own anything anymore. You're living on borrowed time. Don't be surprised you come home someday and Iraqi is in your bed. Yeah, the words "our foes press in from every side" is from O Salutaris Hostia, and I just learned something. It was written in by Saint Thomas Aquinas. O saving victim, opening wide the gate of heaven to us below. Our foes press in from every side. Thine aid supply, thy strength bestow. That could be a great prayer for GIs in Afghanistan. To thy great name be endless praise, immortal Godhead one in three.
O grant us endless length of days in our true native land with thee. Nobis donet in patria. Amen. I couldn't find the tune, but I'll give you Bread of Angels.
Opera is there.
You know, when I traveled internationally, mostly in the Arab world, I always wanted an Irish passport, just in case the plane got hijacked by terrorists and they were looking to kill Americans. But since 9/11, I've changed my mind on dual citizenship. Now, I don't know if holding another passport makes you a citizen of that country. I'm assuming that it does. And how can you have a dual allegiance and call yourself an American? And I recall the last time that Israel went into Lebanon, the screaming headlines in the communist media was 10,000 Americans trapped in Lebanon. And then they panned the refugees, the American refugees who were trapped in Lebanon, and they were all wearing burqas. And I said, those aren't Americans. Those are dual passport holders. Those are bet hedges. And I'm against dual passport holders. You have one passport, you take one oath of allegiance, and it's undivided. One God, one country. Pick your God, and pick your country. And if you don't want this one, if you want to share us with somebody else, no good. We don't like that. We don't like to be shared. Something's got to be done about the school system in the United States. Too many patriotic Americans are paying to watch their children be brainwashed and are driven into the camps of the communists, and it's being done with their taxpayer money, and it's being done on the precious time that is allocated to growing children. And we got to put an end to it. And I don't know if we need more parochial schools. And I said the other night that you turn to your church and tell them you want your child educated in the church. And they don't have to build schools. They can have the education classes in the churches. You see those Afghan kids, they're sitting in little mud huts and getting a lesson. You see those African kids, they're sitting in little grass huts and getting a lesson. We don't need elaborate schools. What we need is elaborate education. One that teaches God and country is inseparable. One that teaches the Ten Commandments, one that teaches respect for life, one that teaches my country 'tis of thee, one that teaches independence and American fortitude. My parents came from Europe. They didn't want me to be raised as a European. They wanted me to be raised as an American. They wanted that spirit of America embodied in all of us. If they wanted me to be raised as a European, they would have left me in Europe. The European philosophy is to let everybody walk over you. That's not the American philosophy. The American philosophy is don't tread on me. You can't be an American and not root for the home team.
For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes you're out at the old ball game. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and cracker jack. I don't care if I ever get back. Let me root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shameful. It's 1, 2, 3 strikes you're out at the old ball game.
Okay, here we go.
Let's cut it.
Here we go.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and cracker jack. I don't care if I ever get back. Let me root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame for. It's 1, 2, 3 strikes you're out at the old ball game.
That's the thing.
We got that.
Okay. Wow. Okay, here you go. Hang on,
yeah.
Here we go. Here. It's 1, 2, 3. We're right where we started. I don't understand.
Here we go.
What's up?
Four balls you won at the old ball game. What a game.
We were talking about Priest before, and it reminded me of a joke a buddy told me once about a priest and a farmer, and the farmer came to the priest and says, Father, you know, I'm a bachelor, it's just me and the dog has died. And I'd like to have a little service for the dog. And the priest said to him, I'm sorry, Pat, but we don't do services for dogs. You might try that denomination down the street. They might have a service for a dog. And the farmer says, well, Father, I don't know those people. Do you have any idea what a fair donation would be? Would it be $25,000, $30,000? And the priest put his arm around Pat and said, Pat, you didn't tell me the dog was a Catholic. I saw a good a movie last night. It was about immigration. It was a little left-sided. But it was very interesting. And one of the scenes was an Israeli is trying to stay in the United States, and the only way he can stay is if he can prove that he is Orthodox Jewish, and he is needed by his community. And he doesn't know any Hebrew, and they give him a crash course, and they teach him the prayer for wine and the prayer for bread, and that's it. That's his whole repertoire. And he goes in to see the immigration officer, and the immigration officer says, can you prove that you're a creditor to the Jewish community, and that you're actually vital, your services are vital? You claim you can lead the community in prayer. And he goes, oh, yes, I can. He goes, okay, well, we have somebody here who's going to verify it, and they bring in a rabbi. And they say, the rabbi is going to attest you. So the rabbi looks at the young Israeli, and he says, do the Kaddish. And this kid starts singing the prayer for wine. and when he first meets the rabbi looks him over like he's not worthy, you know. And after he sings the prayer for wine, the immigration officer looks at the rabbi and goes, well, what do you think, rabbi? He goes, that is the most beautiful Kaddish I ever heard. and I said to myself, that's right. That's right. That's fantastic. What Jew would betray a fellow Jew? And that should be the same for us all. So, hang in there. And I'm also going to mention, never to trust the politicians, and never worship them as if they are idols, from the president to the greatest Hollywood actor of all time, Alec Baldwin, who never served his country but played a general do-nothing in the Raid on Tokyo. I can't stand it when they use Hollywood actors to play real American heroes. It is so sickening, especially the ones that hate this country, that denounce it from France during Academy Award time. So let me play a dedicated tune to those misleaders of the nation.
Everybody plays a fool sometimes. There's no exception to the rule. Listen, baby, it may be factual, may be cruel. Falling in love is such an easy thing.
Hi, you boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book at .com. I don't know if I mentioned this in the show earlier, but I think I did. I mentioned the fact that there was a veteran who came into my store, World War II vet, and he had commented that there was a public school in Coney Island, and the classroom, when they get up to say the Pledge of Allegiance, that the Muslim kids turn their back on the flag. And that was sort of discouraging, and I was lamenting about it to my son, and he mentioned it to his son. And his son tells us he goes to a very good public high school, and when they say the Pledge of Allegiance, only half the class stands up and the rest of the class sits on their desks. And I said, well, who are the ones that don't say the pledge? He says, mostly they're black, they're Russian, and they're Muslim. And I said, oh, man, I knew this country was a split down the middle. But I didn't know it extended all the way down to the next generation. How sad. How absolutely sad. And more I'm convinced we have to have a draft. We have to get everybody in a universal military service with no exceptions. In Nam, a lot of blacks got drafted because they were on the lower education level. And the whites got to hide out, the rich whites got to hide out in colleges, continue their brainwashing by their communist professors, and there was an imbalance to a certain degree, but under my draft, there are no exceptions. We take everybody. Nobody is, as a matter of fact, I think I would start with college professors. I would raise the age to 65. And get them first. And they can lead the boys over the hill. We're in trouble. Our country is going down the tubes faster than you can say a surrender. Hang in there a second. Let me gather my thoughts. I think the more I research this, the more disappointed I'm going to become. You know, I can understand it in colleges because colleges are the seed sowers of communism. And, of course, who would want to go to fight a battle when they could hide out in a nice classroom? Let somebody else die for me. Why should I have to die for them? Yeah. That's the new American way. Obama got a Nobel Peace Prize. I say it's Nobel, N-O-B-E-L-L, because he's got no Liberty Bells. And he's delaying his decision on Afghanistan while Americans die. And that's a typical Democrat sign. And never forget, Democrats get you into war, and then they leave you to die on the battlefield, promising never to run again. And my classic example is LBJ. Kennedy got us into Nam, and LBJ left us on the battlefield to die and said he would not run again. And, of course, their greatest, it took a Republican to get us out in one piece, W-O-N-P-E-A-C-E, and that was Nixon. And he gave it his best shot. Sadly, a lot of a good Vietnamese people had to die, along with 2 to 3 million Cambodians, plus Burma is still enslaved. Yeah, life is great. And we get the refugees that can swim. And speaking of refugees that can swim, I just picked up my local rag. And New York City is spending $29 million to put up six signs in six different translations in hospitals You mean you can't teach a guy how to say emergency room? You can't. I got a little Arab translation book here, and there's about 3 pages that describe all the maladies that you would have to talk to a doctor about in an Arab country. Now, you mean to tell me that these people getting off the boat can't learn to speak English, and the first thing you teach them is a doctor care? Let me tell you something. If that was the law, they'd all be speaking English when they got off the boat. It's the bureaucrats, it's the communists that are screwing this country up. The nation is now a malfunctioning Tower of Babel. We're all babbling idiots. And I'm listening to this commercial for the Rosetta Stone, which is very beautiful. And I think if you really want to learn another language, that's the way to go. They say it makes it real easy. I know a guy that's taking Portuguese right now. And it's $500. But the only language that they didn't advertise was English. And now, when you call some banks, they tell you to press 2 for English. It's no longer press 1 for English. When you got off the boat, they used to quarantine you for certain diseases. And if you couldn't be cured, they send you back. Maybe they should quarantine you for English. Oh, there's another Catholic church scandal. Breaking, I think this time in South Carolina, a Catholic priest won $25,000 playing poker. And guess what? He donated it to the church. I'm sure there's some ACLU lawyers are rubbing their hands together. I wonder if they've been down to that priest's church to take an inventory of anything that's made of gold. And catalog it for the award, for the judge's award, as soon as they can get somebody to bring a charge against the priest. In the 8th grade, I had a buddy who was thinking of becoming a Carmelite priest, and he invited me to go to the seminars. And eventually he did become a Carmelite priest, and I dropped out after about the 3rd meeting. I met this girl, and she whispered something in my ear, and I immediately went to the store and bought an apple. And the priest, he served God for a long time, and then he dropped out, and he got married, and he had about 5 kids. What can you say? Everybody takes a shot at life. Some of us get the mixed drinks. Some of us, the glass is empty. I always say, into each life a little rain must fall, but some people do get hurricanes. And all you can do is pray for those people. The hurricane that I don't want to see is the death hurricane that Obama is going to inflict on the troops that are in Afghanistan. I don't worry too much about Iraq, because the Iraqis now know that if they go backwards, they're going to lose their oil money. And every day they could be getting more oil money. And oil is $70 a barrel. That's with the jihad tax. Otherwise, it would be down around $9.11. That's where it belongs. And it would be that price if we could drill our own. Or let Europe pay $70 a barrel. We don't have to pay it. We can drill our own. It's here. Has anybody ever told you how much oil's in the Mojave Desert? You think that Saudi Arabia is the only country that's got oil? Sarah Palin will get you all you want. All you got to do is say, Sarah, can you drill for us? She'll give you all the oil you want. At discount prices, you'll get the I'm an American discount. But no, we're gonna fart around with a solar. T. Boone Pickens will tell us that's the way to go. And in about 50 years, we'll be back to oil. we'll be uncapping the wells because it's either oil this week or bread. Unbelievable. We got more oil than we know. You know who knows we got oil? The Chinese. They're starting to drill in the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, pretty soon you'll see Chinese ships off the coast of Louisiana. We're in trouble. We're in big trouble. We've got fools running the ship of state. How come no one's standing up for Mike Savage on this English banishment thing? Is that fair? The guy is listed with terrorists. Is that fair? Why are we letting some foreign nation do that to one of our own? That's a fellow American. I could see it if they were doing it to Danny Glover or the president of the Czar of Morals, Roland Polanski, or Roman Polanski, whichever one he's doing this week. Yeah. The Hollywood icon. The Pope of Hollywood. The pace setter. Unbelievable. We should be riddling the Brits with savage satire. I did one. I got the Queen of England in a burqa standing on the balcony at Buckingham Palace. And reviewing the troops. Yeah. And they're all L's. Unbelievable. You can do anything to us today. You might as well just knock us down and just walk all over us. And the president went to a big gay bashing last night, and he got a standing ovation. And thank God it was a standing ovation. Give me a break, man. Stop it. Stop it. You're killing me. The only phony, trumped-up cause that hasn't been selected yet is an organization to support one-eyed cats. Rights for the one-eyed cat. Why don't you just turn them around and let them walk in the door front ways? You know who supports the troops, and you never know it. If you met him, you wouldn't even know. Regis Philbin. I got pictures of Regis Philbin in recovery rooms, in recovery hospitals, visiting the troops, reading mail to them. I got one picture that's real sad. You can see the guy is down. He's really depressed. He's missing two legs. He's missing one leg, and the other leg is got all kinds of holes in it. And Regis is reading him his mail from his folks. And you never see Regis playing the Patriot card. You know, he's a doer. God bless him. It's also the product of a Catholic school. That has something to do with it. I don't care what religion you are. If you got your kid in public school, you're losing your kid. You will not recognize him when he becomes a man. And he won't become a man till he's 29. And you're going to sit around and lament, what did I do wrong? You did nothing wrong. You just sent him to the wrong school. I had an Italian from the other side come in to see me to buy something, and he got talking in with his broken accent, but he speaks English, about his daughter who was in public school. And this is one of these hard working you know the type, nothing comes easy, but I can survive anything, a type of Italian people. And he says to his daughter, where's your school books and where's your homework? She says, I don't have any homework, we do it all in school. He says, oh, okay. The next day she was in Catholic school. And guess what? She's got homework. Yep. So that's it, my friends. That's it. You're going to lose your kids. And you're going to think it's your fault. And it has nothing to do with your sweat, blood, and tears. They're being reprogrammed. I always say, how do you know you're not brainwashed? Do you think that anybody knows? Do you think that... I come from a generation that came from a generation that survived the Depression. When the father of the house got to eat the meat so he could work hard the next day on one of two jobs. Okay? Where twins didn't have a crib, they were put in two dresser drawers. And today, forget about it. Forget about it. We are the Romans who are going to be overrun by the Visigoths and the Ostrogoths and the Huns. And the Visigoths are already visiting here. It's sad. It's absolutely sad. Sedition is taught in our colleges. There's no love of country. There's no loyalty. You know what they say about loyalty? It's worth 10%. That's what they say in business. You can have a blood brother. When the discount goes beyond 10%, he's not your brother anymore. It is really sad. It is absolutely sad. What are we going to do about it? We're going to do nothing. We're going to watch the Emmys. We're going to watch phonies get phony awards. MBS, I call it. MBS stands for make-believe cagada de toro. Make-believe stuff. You know what I'm saying? That's it. There should be an MBS award. It is absolutely terrible. There's no talent. There's about... you could count all the good actors and actresses on one hand. Absolutely. And now, you got better actors in the House and the Senate than you do in Hollywood. They should be giving the Academy Awards out in the Rotunda. So it's costing the city in New York $29 million to put up a 6 foreign language signs in all the hospitals. One day they're going to put up a sign and it's going to say in English, "Where did the doctor go?" I don't know how these doctors are going to take it. And it's absolutely horrible. I feel sorry for these doctors. They have no lives. Eventually they're going to get fed up. And like I told you before, the good ones will say, "No, I don't want this paperwork. I don't want to have to hire 10 people to fill out forms, government forms. No, you bring me cash. I want it in euros, because the dollar's down again this week. And then you go see your insurance company and you fill out the forms with them." Don't think that is not happening and can't happen.
Without a song, the road would never bend. When things go wrong, a man ain't got a friend. Without a song, that field of corn would never see a plow. That field of corn would be deserted now. A man is born, but he's no good, no how, without a song.
melodia, inno dell'amore. accanto e sento tutto il mio dolore, così forte, così grande che mi rapisce il cuore. Sento il mattino tra i canti un gran mulino, lì è nato il mio destino.
Yeah.